You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast where we're racing at Ayr and Cartmel in the afternoon, Beverley, Windsor and Ballinrobe on Monday evening. You'll hear every race live, of course, on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:45pm with Dave Kellner, Sean Quinn and Rory Delaghi in the studio. But before all that, my name is Sam Norris and joining me to take a look at four contests on Monday afternoon as well as a spin through the racing news is Gary Capel. How are you, Gary?
Very good, thank you, Sam. Yourself?
Yeah. Not bad at all. Enjoy the Arab action yesterday at Newbury?
Yes, yep. Tipped the winner in the Racing Post and duly won by about 8 lengths. So, didn't think it was the greatest spectacle, if I'm perfectly honest. There was a fair way spaced out, but it was only a maiden race after all. So, and there was quite a lot of young and experienced horses in that race. But we've got the big Arab day at Newbury next Sunday. I've got to go down to Newbury next Tuesday for a press conference and Thursday for another race. And the M40's right. Like the back of my hand by the time next week's over. But plenty of driving over the next week or so. But the big Arab day next Sunday. So looking forward to that especially. But they were all spaced out yesterday.
All right, fair enough. Is it worth following the winner? 20-length victory?
Yeah, I mean, the winner will be probably... He might run at Newbury next week again. He'll obviously have a penalty, but I think I spoke to the handicapper last night, he'll be going up more than the obligatory, obviously, £6 penalty. He entered in a race there, but he's also entered in a Group 1 race at Goodwood on Stewards' Cup Day, which is worth £400,000. So, be interesting to see what connections decide to do, but I should imagine he'll be sold, that horse, and you'll see him in the Gulf at some point. But he is a nice horse, the winner. We'll see. But he could end up going to Goodwood, or he will run next week under his penalty, where he probably would win. We'll see.
Okay. We also had some pretty decent action from the Curragh, of course, on Saturday. The Irish Derby was won by Covert Love of Hugo Palmer. Some training performance from Hugo Palmer, really, to take it from a Chelmsford maiden to a classic in the space of 2 months. And had the right horses in behind as well, Gary, Jack Naylor and Curvy. I mean, you couldn't argue that it didn't beat anyone.
No, I mean, I didn't actually see the race. I'm going to have to watch it back. But just reading the reports, the overall form does look strong. And you know, for Hugo Palmer, it's a fantastic bit of placing, really. Obviously, as you rightly pointed out, she won a maiden and then won that listed race at Newcastle and first classic for Hugo Palmer, who places his horses very, very well. Obviously, he's relatively new to the training ranks, but we see it not just in handicap company, but also, you know, he's had plenty of horses in group and listed contests, and as you say, there were some decent horses, you know, just in behind him. The form looks good, Jack Naylor, and obviously Curvy said give the form a very solid look to it. Interesting to see where they go next. I know that she was quoted for the St. Ledger, but it was nice to see connections rewarded, because obviously they had to supplement her for €40,000, so obviously they've got that back with extra, and she can still go in the St. Ledger. She's not in the Arcs. I don't think she'll go there. But just looking at the quotes from Hugo, she may end up going to the Yorkshire Oaks. Again, she'd need to be supplemented for that. Mm. But it just shows really how much she's improved. And it shows you how quick these sort of these fillies, when they get on the roll, how quickly they can improve, you know. So I should imagine the Ledger could end up being a long-term project, because she's got that. Just remember when she went at Newcastle, she made all the running, but she certainly wasn't stopping at the line, but she's got a really long stride on her, so I don't think the mile and three-quarter trip would be an issue to her.
Okay, yeah, best of luck to her in the future, and Hugo Palmer as well, as we've said. Very very good to see him, a young upcoming trainer, really getting his first Group 1 victory. We'll move on to some of the other news. Obviously, Richie Hughes this week has announced that he will be retiring after Goodwood. as opposed to the end of the season. The tributes have been led, obviously, by Richard Hannon, and Frankie Dettori's had something to say today as well. What did you make of the decision? Would you have gone to the end of the season, or is Goodwood be a fitting last hurrah for him?
I think, considering how much of a big deal he's always made of Goodwood, he's always decided after that to be going for, you know, we'll see where he is in the jockey title before going all out for it then. But obviously, the Hannons have always had a very, very good record at Goodwood. It's been a track where they've sent some, you know, they're better two-year-olds. They've got a really good record in the two-year-old races and also in the Sussex Stakes as well. They've won that a couple of times. So, and he's gone on record as saying, obviously, you know, he's going to be training. He wants to start training as soon as possible. So it doesn't come as a huge shock, I suppose. I see what you mean about maybe going to the end of the season, but this way he can go out for him probably on more of a high on, you know, that what probably is his favourite track, and he doesn't need to. It's a perfect opportunity to have a proper send off rather than the end of the season, because obviously with the sales going on, he said he's going to be going to all of those as well. It makes sense really, and he'll be obviously finishing in two Saturdays' time, and it's been a fantastic career considering how tall he is. You know, he's does well to keep his weight down.
Yeah,
he's not obviously. Not quite as tall as George Baker, but he's, for a flat jock, he's pretty tall.
He'll look forward to a bit of food then.
Agreed.
Because I remember when AP retired, one of the things, I mean, he was interviewed by absolutely everyone. One of the things he kept coming back to is how much he's looking forward to having breakfast every day, and a proper breakfast.
Rather than just a cup of tea.
Yeah, absolutely. And he wouldn't be that interested in the Jockey's Championship, you'd think.
No, I mean he's been there and done that. He's had a couple of... he's won the last two, has he?
I think it's the last three.
So it's a fitting way to go out, I think, and I don't think, you know, that he's not too bothered about the jockey title. He's won it enough times.
No. While we're on that, actually, is it D'Souza's to lose now, the Jockey's Championship?
I don't know. I think he's way too short. I would have backed him at 92 a couple of months ago before Ryan Moore got injured, but now there's literally no value in that, because I wouldn't be completely surprised if somebody, one of the Godolphin jockeys, gets on a bit of a roll. I mean, just looking at the table now, Sylvester's on 54, William Buick, Paul Hannigan and James Doyle, 46, 46, 45, Graham Lee, 41. If any of those were to go for it, I know, but the Godolphin jockeys practice a little bit trickier, but Paul Hannigan still gets plenty of support. And Hamdan will have a lot of sort of late maturing two-year-olds to run at that's the right sort of time. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Hannigan go close, because he'll be staying here until the end of the season, I would imagine. Obviously, some of the Godolphin jockeys might well have to go over for the Breeders' Cup or whatever, whereas I doubt Paul Hannigan will have to. Mm. So I think at the moment I'll check the prices, but I think Hannigan's probably the best value at the moment.
Okay then, we'll move on to take a look at some of Monday's racing now. Two from Ayr and two from Cartmel for us, two from the flat and two over the jumps. We'll start with Ayr's 305. This is a class 4 handicap. Five furlongs of the trip for this one, 12 of them set to take their chance. And we'll start, Gary, with Lexington Place, who was denied a four-timer here just 2 weeks ago for Ruth Carr, but drops back in class here.
Does drop back down in class. And I think is likely to reverse recent form with Go On Harry, who finished second that day. They meet, you know, Lexington Place meets that horse on much better terms here. Obviously in very, very good form. And there's not many of those that you can really say that about in this lineup. I think it for an 0-85, it's not the strongest. I mean, we see with these sprinters, they come in and out of form quite regularly, but Lexington Place has really held his form. We know that he likes the track, and the fact that he's meeting Go On Harry on better terms here could depend on where the stalls are as well, though. He's drawn two Lexington Place. Hopefully the stalls are on the far side, so we'll be more towards that far side. Actually, I think, yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? Yeah, with that draw. So he's the one to beat, really. I do think Pearl Blue is interesting, but when there's a bit more cut in the ground. I know it's good to soft, but it'll be a dry day up there today. As we record this on Sunday, it's probably given a dry forecast again for tomorrow. So So the ground will be drying out. Pearl Blue has definitely got races to be. There's definitely races to be won with that one for David Omar. He used to be trained by Chris Wall, I think. But there's a horse that likes cutting the ground. But all things considered, I think Lexington Place will be pretty tough to beat, and that horse is the selection.
Okay, Lexington Place then in Ayrshire 5 for Gary. We'll move on to their feature race then. This one comes up at 4:40. It's a mile handicap, this Class 2. Again, 12 of them line up for it. And again, Ruth Carr looks like she's got an excellent chance here with Dubai Dynamo, who won just yesterday, Gary, at Ripon.
Yes, he did. And obviously I'll have a £6 penalty for that. But I just wonder whether he might be more vulnerable to something that might be slightly better handicapped. He's certainly not getting any younger, that horse, is he? He's obviously at the age of 10 now, but Ripon's the likes as well, albeit he has actually won here before. Silvery Moon is interesting. He's a very consistent horse for the Easterbys. He's another one that's won here in the past, which bodes well for his chances. Ingleby Angel is another one that's won here before, was a winner at Redcar last time out, beating Tis Love Regardless in a Class 3 handicap, obviously off a slightly lower mark, and then it's going to be running off tomorrow. But the one that I'm going to go for is Homage, the top weight of Willie Haggis's. Willie Haggis has got his horses in really good form at the moment. Graham Lee continues to ride well. This horse finished second at Nottingham on his most recent outing, behind Big Baz, who's a very likeable horse. Provided he's not ridden, he's not getting too far back in the early stages, draw 5 is going to be a plus, I think, because he'll be towards the inside, won't be giving away extra ground. I think the mark of 98, he can probably still win off that. It will take a decent effort to win this off top weight, it has to be said, but I just think he might just be a little bit better than some of these. Homage in the 4:40.
Okay, couple of jumpers now then as we move over to Cartmel for the next two races on today's podcast. We'll start with their 3:20. This one's a handicap hurdle. 3 mile, 1.5 furlongs is the trip for this Class 4. 9 of them set to contest it. Anything stand out here, Gary?
It's a tricky old race, this. Again, we've got a few that have ran here. None of them actually won here, but quite a few of them have got bits and pieces of form here in the past. And they include the one I'm going to select, Craig Dancer, who was towards the foot of the weights. Dougie Costello rides for the Foster Yard. Finished second here last time out, beaten 9 lengths, but that was behind a horse called Red Clue, an Irish raider who came over and plundered the prize that day. And prior to that, this horse had won at Wetherby. There is a little bit of room for manoeuvre in his jumping, I think it's fair to say. But I think this is a weaker race than the one he finished second in. I respect the top weight Rev Up Ruby, who was third at Perth last time out, behind Solway Sam. He's another one that is gradually beginning to drop down in grade a little bit. Lo and Behold arrives here in fairly good form. And likewise, Johnny Go. But all things considered, I think this is a weaker race than the one that Craig Dancer finished second here last time out. So if he can reproduce that form, he will be the selection in the 3:20.
Okay, Craig Dancer then in that 3:20. Final race on today's podcast comes again from Cartmel at 4:55. This one is a handicap chase. 2 mile and 1 furlong is the trip for this Class 3. We've got the dead 8 at the time of recording. A couple of interesting ones here, Gary, including Pekameko, who we've obviously seen running better races than this in the past, and the consistent Clara Native. The winner of this race 2 years ago, Sergeant Pink. Quite a few of interest here.
Yeah, I think so. As you say, Sergeant Pink won this race 2 years ago. He's one of five previous course winners in the lineup. Swelldale Lad, Fantasy King, Toledo Gold, and Crook, and right down at the bottom have all won here in the past as well. It's wide open, this, really. I think I'm not a huge fan of Clara Native. It took him a hell of a long time to finally get his head in front over in Ireland. He used to be trained in Ireland by Arthur Moore, this horse. He's been with Martin Dodonta for quite a while now. I'm willing to swerve him. I think the one I'm going to go for is the Moffat trained Fantasy King, who unseated his rider at Worcester recently. But prior to that, had managed to get his head in front, and he won here, winning a handicap chase over this course and distance on ground, which will be similar to what he's likely to encounter tomorrow. If you just look back at this other horse's previous run here, he's finished second and fourth. So we know that it's a track that he likes. Obviously, James Moffat actually trains literally just over the road, I think, from Cartmel. It's certainly his local track anyway. So if he's in the same form as he was when winning here two runs ago, and provided he doesn't blunder his chance away, I think he is the one to beat, so he will be the selection in the 4.55.
Okay, Fancy King then in that 4.55. Just remind us, please, then, Gary, of your four selections for the action on Monday.
Yep, in the 3.05 at Ayr Lexington Place, in the 4.40 at Ayr Hommage, in the 3.20 at Cartmel Craig Dancer, and in the 4.55 at Cartmel Fantasy King.
Okay, cheers, Gary. And remember, you can listen to every race live from 1.45pm on Monday with William Hill Racing Radio. Dave Kellner, Sean Quinn and Rory Delaghi will be the team in the studio. Ayr and Cartmel in the afternoon. Beverly, Windsor and Ballinrobe in the evening. Thanks for that, Gary, and best of luck with the picks for tomorrow.
Cheers, Sam, will do. Thanks.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.